Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8, verse 44. And tonight I'm going to share on truth. Truth. Because it seems more than ever that truth is at a premium. Right? Media is no longer unbiased. You can't watch the news without there being a take or a side on it. It's not just journalism any longer. Tech companies will promote what they want you to see and block what they don't want you to look at. And applications make it easy for us to doctor photos or videos or audio clips to make it seem like anything's possible or anything happened. Politicians do what they've done forever, right? They'll tell you what you want to hear to get where they want to be and then not follow through on it. So truth is hard to find. And the question is, why has it gotten so bad? Why are things the way that they are? And in John 8:44, it says, this is Jesus Christ speaking to a select group of religious leaders. It says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts," lust is the word desires, "the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Right? And so the devil, the adversary, there is no truth in him. Not a speck, not a lick. He is the father of lies. And because the devil runs the world, it should make sense that the world is hurting for truth, right? Because it's the adversary who runs the world. And so why would there be truth everywhere? He is the father of lies. We're going to see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Right? The devil wants nothing more than for people to be distracted, to be confused, and to not have an understanding of the truth. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, this is the first recorded lie in the Bible. This is the first recorded instance of the adversary in the Bible. So the first recorded instance, he lies. "Now the serpent," referring to the devil, "was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die." So the very first recording of the adversary is the very first recording of a lie in the Bible. Right? And that did not turn out very good for mankind. Right? Satan lied to Eve. "You will not surely die," he said. But she did die, right? She lost spirit. Adam and Eve sinned and they lost the Holy Spirit that God had created in them, right? Essentially, them dying spiritually, right? The adversary knew what he was doing, lying to them, getting them to disobey God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So the very first thing the devil does is deceive mankind, lie. He is the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So from the beginning until now, the devil is at work to blind and to deceive people. Right? It is Satan who blinds the world. From the very beginning, whether it was Adam and Eve, till now, he's at work to blind the minds of those in the world so that they don't see the light of truth. So what's he up to? Why is that important? Go to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8. John 8:28. This says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what?
Make you free.
Make you free. So the truth is what sets people free. Right? It's the truth that sets people free. Because the truth is what gets people back to God. Right? When Adam and Eve sinned and they lost Holy Spirit, that severed that connection to God, right? They died spiritually. They did not have Holy Spirit any longer. And so what the truth does is bring people back to God, back to a place where they believe God, where they confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, where they get born again. And they're no longer under the grip of the adversary, right? They're free. Because they once again have Holy Spirit. They once again are sons and daughters of God. And that's what sets men free. And that's why he tries to keep it hidden. That's why he tries to blind the minds of people. Because that's what sets them free. Go to Numbers 23:19. So of course, he wants to keep that hidden. He wants to blind the minds of people because he doesn't want them free. He doesn't want more sons and daughters of God walking the earth. Numbers 23:19. In stark contrast to Satan, it says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Rhetorical questions. Of course he will. God is not a man that he will lie. God is not a man. There's only truth in God. There's only lies in Satan. There's only truth in God. Right? There's no deceit and no lies with him. Whatever he says, he backs up. Whatever he says, he means. Go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17. So we have the God of this world, the adversary, who is the father of lies, and there's no truth in him. And in stark contrast, we have the one true God, and there's only truth in him. There is no deceit. There is no lying with God. In John 17:17, it then follows here that sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. So the word of God. Because God's not a liar, then his word is true. His word is true. And the word sanctify is to be set apart, right? God's word sets us apart. We saw that it makes us free. Right? We're set apart from the world by the word that we know, the truth. Right? So what does God think of truth? He obviously must think it's a pretty good thing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. His word is true. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. It says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, right? Now, a balance is like a scale, right? So in the lands and times of the Bible, when you went to the marketplace, you purchased things by weight, right? They would say a measure of flour is this much, and they would take, let's say it's a pound, they didn't use pounds, but let's say it's a pound, they put a pound on one side of the scale, and then they measured out the flour on the other side of the scale until it was in balance. And that's how much flour you got, right? That's how they figured it out. But there would be people who would use what they call a false balance, right? That the weight wasn't exactly a pound. Maybe it was 7/8 of a pound, almost a pound. And that way they could get away with giving you what? Less flour than what you really were purchasing. So a false balance, something that is untruthful, is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight, right, when that weight is exactly what it says it is his what? Delight. His delight. God delights in truth. He delights in the exactness of truth. Chapter 12, Proverbs 12, verse 19. It says, the lip of truth shall be established forever. Right? The words that are true are established forever. Guess what? Like 2 plus 2 equals what? Well, that's true. It's always going to be true. It's not like 1,000 years from now, 2 plus 2 will stop being 4. Because truth endures forever. It's always true. It's always true. But in contrast, but a lying tongue is but for a what? Moment, right? Once a lie is found out, that's it. There's no more of it. It's gone. Because people realize it's not what? True. It doesn't stick around, right? The lying is but for a moment. The truth is enduring, right? And there's a lot of things that people still believe that are lies, right? But in the greater scope of eternity, what will remain? Only the truth of God and his word. All the other stuff will be put to dust, right? So even if it feels like that lie has been around forever, in the greater scheme of things, it's just a moment. Truth is what endures. Psalm 25, verse 1. And that's why the devil wants to hide it. The more truth that gets out there, the more lies fall apart. They only last a moment when the truth breaks them down. Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Right? So we can put our trust in God. Verse 3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy paths, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day, right? And that wait is a firmness of mind or a trust, right? And so the request is that God lead us in truth, right? He wants to show us the truth of his word. He wants us to walk in his truth, right? And we just have to trust in him. So the question is, what can we do to stay focused on the truth. Go to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Second Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what?
Truth.
So one of the things that we can do to stay focused on the truth is to study it, right? To really work it, to get into the word, to be someone who is not ashamed to be called a believer, but knows the word of God, knows what it says, understands the truth, right? And that's what it is to be a workman, to really know God's word, to get your head in it. Another thing we can do is in John chapter 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 24. So, kind of seems obvious, but if you want to know the truth, you got to study what's true. John chapter 4, verse 24. It says, God is a spirit. That makes sense. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in what?
Truth.
Right? True worship. And what's true worship but speaking in tongues, right? Manifesting that Holy Spirit that God has given us. Right? We can speak in tongues. That's true worship in our own private prayer life. That's true worship, right? That's something that we can do to stay focused on the truth. Speak in tongues a lot. Here's another thing we can do in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in what?
Truth.
Right? Not just with words, not just with lip service, but put love into action. Right? Because that's truth. We can love indeed in our actions and in truth. So, to focus on the truth, we can study. We can speak in tongues. We can put love into action in our lives. That helps us stay focused on truth. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Here's another thing we can do. Ephesians 6, verse 10. This section of Ephesians is known as this latter part of the verse, it goes over the armor of God, right? These sort of, not hypothetical, what's the word I'm looking for?
Metaphorical
pieces of armor, right? That are things that we can do, that we can equip. Peace and righteousness and things like that. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? So putting these on helps us stand against the adversary and what he's trying to do. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our battlefront is. Wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. So here's how we can take a stand. Having your loins girt about with what? Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins girt about is a nice old-timey phrase that basically means to wear a belt, right? How would you gird up your loins but with a belt, right? And so it's the first piece in the armor of God is a belt of truth, right? It's a belt of truth. And what happens if you don't buckle your belt? You get caught with your pants down. That's right. So we should buckle our belt of truth, right? That's what helps us to stand. That's what helps us to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, right? The first item in the armor of God is truth. Go to Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. So don't get caught with your pants down, right? Make sure you know the truth. And here's another thing we can do. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. That sounds like true. Whatsoever things are just. That sounds like true, right? A just weight. Whatsoever things are pure. That's true. That's pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we're to meditate, to hold in our mind, to think on things that are honest, that are pure, that are true, right? So those are the things that we should be keeping in our brain. And what's true but the Word of God, right? The Word of God is that truth. Let's hold on to that. Let's meditate on that. We're going to close in the book of 3 John. 3 John, verse 3. 3 John 3. Verse 3, it says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? Truth." Let's rejoice in truth, right? Walk in truth. God's joy is that we do so, right? That's what really just thrills God's heart. Is to see his kids walking in truth. It's the truth that set us free and will set others free too.